is 23-30431, Stephen M. Groover v. Allstate Insurance Company of Canada. Mr. Donovan, whenever you're ready, take it away.
Sir, may it please the court, James Donovan on behalf of Allstate Insurance Company of Canada, Inc. The issue I'd like to bring to the court's attention in this argument is principally on a credit that we're seeking in regards to affecting the judgment. And the position essentially is this, that the jury came back with a verdict and the court rendered the judgment of $122,000 against Mr. Ryan Itztu.
You might want to speak up just a little.
I'm sorry. And actually, I'll get a little bit closer.
You can probably move it.
Here we go. Thank you. Mr. Itztu and Allstate. So the reason we're contending that the judgment should be reduced to the $22,000 under this particular assignment of error is that there was a proffer in the record of the Gasquet release that was entered into between State Farm, the Itztus, and the plaintiffs. The second portion of that particular argument is that there's actually a letter that is in the record that had been presented from the time Allstate first went into the case on a motion to dismiss for failure to have lack of jurisdiction over Allstate, when there was an affidavit of the Allstate adjuster that attached the letter. What the letter does is it illuminates what the Gasquet release is. That's actually a part of the record in the filing. And it says in the letter that Allstate, you are an excess carrier. Allstate, we settled with the plaintiffs. The settlement was for $100,000. We are seeking from you a settlement, a resolution of this case for a sum exceeding the amounts that State Farm paid you. So it actually is giving you the perspective, the intention of the release from the perspective of the Groovers, because they're the ones that entered into that release. So that's in the record. Another thing that comes up regarding why the issue should be changed, the judgment should be modified, is that when these exhibits, D4 as a proffer and D5 as a proffer, were put into the record, the issue would be that they should come in, but they don't necessarily have to go to the jury, because as the court ultimately ruled, this issue was one in which the court would decide post-verdict. And this happens...
Well, I mean, that's my major puzzlement, I guess, about this case, is why did the district court say that? I'm going to think about this after the verdict, but what happened after the verdict? I would assume that the district court would then take it up after the verdict. So why didn't the district court?
Yeah, well, it was hoped that once the verdict came in, we would receive a judgment which would say you're cast in $22,000, but that didn't occur. So I don't know if the court expected another motion to be filed pre the rendering of the judgment off the verdict or not.
Well, what did you do after verdict in order to make happen whatever you think should happen?
Yeah, so after that happens, we file the motion to alter the judgment. And this is where this kind of ends up as an issue. The court rules that, look, Allstate, you didn't prove that there was a Gasquet release, you're entitled to a credit or an amount, because the document is not in the record, it's not introduced into the record. Mm-hmm. Now, at the same time, there's footnote 28 in the ruling that says, oh yeah, y'all proffered this, but we excluded it, and I'm confined to the record as it's before me, so I can't rule on it, is basically how the ultimate decision was made not to use the release. So they're saying the release isn't in the record because we kept it out at the trial, even though it's a proffer, and the court says, and I will be deciding this if it's necessary, because for instance, if the verdict comes back and it's zero, this is a moot issue, everybody goes away, but it became an issue once the verdict came. So it's sitting in the record as a proffer, the letter's already in the record, it's also proffered as well as D5 in the record, and then the court rules, well, you didn't get it, I excluded it from the trial, so when you file your post-motion, it's as if, well, is Allstate supposed to reintroduce it with the motion? That wasn't done, but it's kind of confusing on what we should be doing, especially in the context of this case, because it's not like the court didn't know there was a Gasquet release. The court, in its ruling on the motion to dismiss to keep Allstate in the jurisdiction of the court, mentions the Gasquet release. It's written out. When cross motions for summary judgment are filed, the Gasquet release is known to the court. So in this particular instance, I think when it all runs to one question, it's that, hey, this is an abuse of a discretion of a substantial right of Allstate, and they're prejudiced by it. Allstate the grouper shouldn't get recovery of the same debt twice, and Allstate shouldn't be compelled to pay it.
Is Allstate arguing that the Gasquet settlement credit is automatic, or do you agree that Allstate had a burden to prove their entitlement to the credit with concrete evidence?
It was not automatic. They do have to prove it. That's why I'm suggesting to the court that the document should have been for the courts, not for the jury.
So what is the proper airtight procedure for determining whether a defendant's entitled to a settlement credit? The proper procedure for doing is it?
There's probably more than one. Maybe you could do it if you do it pre-trial, it may not be necessary. It might be premature, and it might be decided. I think possibly it would be post-trial motion, and you can okay. So there's a verdict. Now it's an issue. So, it doesn't become an issue to the verdict.
So if after trial, are you saying a rule 59E motion is the proper vehicle to assert that?
I do. And that's what was done in this case.
Does it need to be raised before judgment, or is after? I mean, what about timing?
Well, I think it was actually probably. I don't think we had the expectation the judge was going to rule on the credit, but I think the judge had the record in front of her to do so, because everything was in the record. Nothing changed when we filed the motion, because the court said, "Hey, you don't have before me what I need in order to make a decision." So that's where it all runs back to that question. Does this document actually, can it be utilized in order to make a ruling? So I would suggest you have to wait till the verdict. You could file, it's possible you could file a motion right after the verdict, but before there's a judgment signed saying, hey, give us the credit. You could file some post-trial motion, but it's the same effect once the judge rules on the judgment, file the 59E motion to alter it. You're asking that the court address the credit. And it was just unexpected that the court would say, hey, the document's not there. And in some sense, it doesn't. If you have the actual letter in the record, and you have the presentation from the plaintiff's perspective of exactly what they entered into, the only thing that letter doesn't have is the amount. So from Allstate's perspective, when you get to the end of this, it's an issue of an abuse of discretion if the court not utilizing the document that was proffered into the record. And unless you have any other questions, I'll... Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Donovan. Now, hear from counsel for the Groovers, Mr. Fazola. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court, Jonathan Fazola on behalf of Stephen and Rayanne Groover. Now that Allstate Canada has apparently conceded a settlement credit in Gasquet release situations doesn't apply automatically, I want to talk about the proper procedure that Allstate should have followed in this case in seeking it. And the procedure, in fact, there's a roadmap laid out for Allstate that it could and should have followed in Miller. The single case it is cited kind of for the proposition that it's now abandoned that a settlement credit is automatically and without proof due to an excess insurer in Gasquet type arrangements. In Miller, the excess carrier raised the settlement credit as an affirmative defense, and then there was a flurry of post-verdict pre-judgment motions, which included affidavits to make the evidence competent and admissible, and I believe there may have been some status hearings and other evidentiary hearings on the issue. It's all in the district court's docket, not up on appeal, in which the parties debated and discussed, was a settlement credit due, and if so, in what amount?
So when should Allstate have raised it?
They should have raised it. Well, they could have and raised it multiple stages of the litigation. They absolutely should have raised it as an affirmative defense. They could have raised it if they had preserved the issue by raising it as an affirmative defense on summary judgment if they had evidentiary basis and legal basis to do so, which courts in this district have recognized and allows parties to do on summary judgment on multiple occasions. Or at a minimum, they should have raised it post-verdict, but pre-judgment. And that is exactly what happened in Miller. And so Miller confirms that where...
Sorry, is a 59E motion an improper way to raise it?
It is under the facts of this case, Your Honor. And I can tell you why. In this case, Allstate Canada never sought affirmatively and formally a settlement credit until after judgment was entered. Allstate's counsel at trial made a proffer of documents that had been excluded pre-trial, but it didn't make an argument during that proffer, and it didn't make an offer of proof to authenticate and make those documents admissible. That's one thing. But that it was doing so to seek a settlement credit on any verdict that was entered pre-judgment, on any verdict that was entered. And because of that, when it moved on a 59E, for a settlement credit on a judgment that had already been entered, it categorically, as a matter of law, could not satisfy the burden and the standards of a Rule 59E motion, which this court has said in multiple cases, is not an opportunity to rehash arguments that hadn't been raised before or offer evidence that a party had at its disposal and didn't offer before. That's exactly what a post-judgment argument for a settlement credit was in this case, because it had never been made before. And it also means that Allstate categorically could not show a manifest error of law or fact in the rendering of the judgment, because the court didn't have before it, when it rendered judgment, any ask formally or otherwise from Allstate that it was seeking a settlement credit, let alone admissible evidence or any type of information on which it could rely to assess and determine whether a settlement credit was appropriate or owed in any circumstance to Allstate Canada.
When did Allstate proffer the Gasquet release during trial?
And I want to use the term proffer in the appropriate context, because I'm not sure it's clear from the records in Allstate's brief. It was after the close of the Groover's evidence, and it was done essentially, Allstate's counsel conceded on the record, just for preserving them for the record, essentially for appeal. It wasn't as part of an argument that we are going to seek a settlement credit and we need this evidence to do so. There wasn't an argument that if you allow us to introduce this evidence now, Your Honor, we'll seek a settlement credit at trial.
Is that what led is that when the district court said, well, I'll have to consider that post-verdict settlements or credits or something?
And exactly, and that so Miller provides a roadmap, and then the court in elucidating its reasons for denying Allstate's for granting our unopposed motions in limine pretrial, the court added additional reasons on the record, and Chief Judge Dick said that's an issue. The settlement credit issue is one to be taken up post verdict. What happened when the verdict came in? The court said, do the parties have any post-verdict motions? And Allstate immediately stood up. It's in the record. The first thing they said is, Your Honor, I request that the verdict be made a judgment of the court. Even then, the court said, following that, if the parties would like to file post-trial motions, they can do so in the record by filing a written motion. And then the court waited 2 weeks. Two whole weeks, almost 2 weeks, 13 days before entering formal judgment. And then 23 days after that, Allstate came forward and said, wait, Your Honor, we want to seek a settlement credit, and we want to do so based on documents, primarily a settlement agreement release that never made it into the record. And even if it had made it into the record, Allstate made no showing through its proffer or otherwise that it would be able to authenticate or make that admissible.
So were any of your motions, I just don't remember this, were any, your motions in limine, any of them directed to this Gasquet release?
They were. We did an omnibus motion in limine directed toward the Gasquet release and multiple other documents, including the state farm policy. We also had a separate motion in limine directed toward the general argument at trial regarding a settlement credit, because we didn't learn that Allstate was going to raise that issue until they told us their inserts for the proposed pretrial orders. First time it had been raised.
Okay, so you had a motion in limine directed to exclude the Gasquet release?
For purposes of trial, that's right, because it would not be relevant to any of the issues at trial, since the court on our affirmative summary judgment motion had already ruled as a matter of law that there was coverage under the policy. So issues of insurance wouldn't have been proper for the jury at trial. They would have, if they were ever to be raised and argued, would have been a post-verdict issue had Allstate sought to avail itself of it.
Let's assume that the Gasquet release was properly entered into the record at some point. And you say, and evidently your friend on the other side agrees, that it wouldn't have automatically entitled Allstate to a credit, right?
Correct.
What more would have to be, I'm just trying to imagine, what would the parties be arguing about at that point with respect to a credit?
Well, they'd have to show that the Gasquet release expressly contemplated or even stipulated to a credit, which is not a necessary feature of a Gasquet release. And then they would also, another additional argument might be that Allstate would have to show that under its excess policy, it was itself entitled to claim that type of credit from its insured.
Okay, thank you.
And if your honors have no further questions, I'll cede my time and reiterate that we believe that the judgments and rulings below should all be affirmed.
Okay, Mr. Fazzola, thank you. Mr. Donovan, you're back for 5 minutes.
Just briefly, the issue came up officially from the perspective of Allstate is in the pretrial order when it was submitted. This is pretrial number one on the issue of the credit. If the Allstate, once the document goes into evidence, it checks off all the issues regarding what the parties agreed to, and it's a court issue, it's a judge issue on whether or not you're going to accept it and what effect you're going to give to it. So from my perspective, is the issue did come up pre-trial. The exhibits were also requested to be put in. They were out, and then when we got to the court and the case is being tried, the judge says, this isn't going to issue that I'm going to be raising until after the verdict comes in, and there's going to be a judgment that would make it necessary, and that's what happened. And so the judge could very well, with the record as it was, ruled that, okay, the document has been proffered, it's not going to go to the jury, but I'm going to look at it, and I can get the credit.
Quick question. Is there any dispute, at least from your side, about whether Canadian law applies to the interpretation of the policy?
I think the Canadian law will apply to the policy. Will apply to the policy on the issue of my appreciation of getting into who's paying the premiums and.
Because I think your brief only cites. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think your brief only cites Louisiana law.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, counsel. Thank you both. We appreciate your able arguments. The case is submitted, and that concludes our final case of the week. So the court will stand adjourned.